Orlando food not bombs, and they're being arrested because they're feeding the homeless. Why is it that we live in a society where this is regulated, that feeding the homeless is a crime? Finding housing for people to sleep is a crime? Being able to sleep on the street is a crime? I've personally witnessed police officer harass people on the street because they couldn't sleep at the doorstep. So I'm here to speak. My point is that just let these people have a place to stay, to sleep. In the meantime, why don't you find a solution and prove ourselves to be the pioneering city that we claim to be, so that we can show the world what we can do.
Thank you very much.
Thank you, Bao. Hello, commissioners. My name is Cameron. I just want to remind you guys of the sit-lie ordinance, which was deemed unconstitutional to remove people from sidewalks where they are not obstructing. And a lot of Portlanders in this community have been able to use the ruling of that ordinance to exercise their right to survival and live on these streets. And I know that we're dealing with zoning changes, so the Constitution doesn't have the same amount of power as it should be. But I'm very curious why vehicles have become such a fundamental focal point in this project, especially when it is the most complicated and resource-extensive part of this voluntary program. And I just would like to be able to have a response to that right now that I'm in City Hall discussing with you guys. And I'm also curious how this voluntary program is so restrictive on allowing these organizations that are participating to have the ability to volunteer what type, what amount of participation they have with this pilot program. I know we are 7 years into this, you know, solution to homelessness issue, and I'm hoping that you guys continue on with your pilot program, but the next year is coming up, and we need to start doing more creative, more experimental ways to find results on how to find solutions. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Michael?
Hi, thank you. I must admit I'm in favor of this, helping one half of 1% of the people that are truly homeless. It's a step, and I'm in favor of it because I like to use my new word, humanados. That's what these people are, humanados. Okay, and thanks for helping them. I appreciate that. We're throwaway people. I've discussed this with you before, you know, a lot of times, but a few notes. I'm glad that Commissioner Fish, you and Saltzman can work together to get the building department to be a little relaxed in their enforcement, and I would hope that you could work together to get the building department to get a little more relaxed and Right to Dream, too. And you've heard from the people here about Right to Dream, too. Okay, one thing I want to point out, I'm glad you're emulating Eugene. In New York, a judge declared probably about 5 years ago that the shelters will never be full in New York. Okay, if a shelter's full, another one's open, another one's open, another one's open. Last year, they reduced their homelessness by 31% by opening shelters of 20 or fewer. There are solutions out there. There is no political will here. We have a solution. It works. Okay? Leave us alone. Okay? One thing that this bill does is it helps none of the 5,000 to 7,000 shelterless people sleeping outside every night. Okay? Solving homelessness, my goodness. We have solved the shelterlessness in a very secure way. Okay? Try sleeping outside sometime when you're not safe. Okay? All of these people have emphasized safety. Okay? When we walk out of R2-D2, we are not safe. When we come in there, we are safe. And I can't emphasize that enough, but thank you for the opportunity to address you once again.
Thank you. Anybody else signed up? Is there anybody else that didn't sign up that'd like to testify? If not,
I was thinking, can we invite Tracy Manning back for one moment, Mr. President?
Yeah.
Sorry, I actually have something to say. I did raise my hand.
Just not, if you want to talk, you come up here. Otherwise, you have to give your name. You have 2 minutes.
I have an alias that I'd like to go by. It's Nightmare Zero. I am part of Occupy. I think that Occupy was a good thing. It got a lot of people off the streets. And then the next thing I know, I watch one of my best friends I've known my whole life get ripped up out of our tent by his hair. What did he do to deserve that kind of police brutality? What did we do wrong? Other than protest something we thought was wrong. We fight what is evil, and a good man once said, all it takes for evil to triumph is for good men to do nothing. If you consider yourself good men, fight evil. Don't encourage it. That's all I have to say.
Thank you. Sure. My name is Keith Axton. I just wanted to, I don't know what this is about. I just wanted to say I'm coming to visit Portland, and I've been here for just maybe a week and a half, and Right to Dream 2 has been an awesome place where I didn't know anybody here, and I could just walk in and have a place to sleep. It was a safe place. It was a place where there are good people there, and I would hate to see it go away. And also, I come from Ashland in Southern Oregon, and a lot of times we look to Portland as an example for some of our programs. I'm working on homeless as an issue there as well. And our city council looks to the programs that you guys set up here. And I'm going to tell them about Right to Dream, too, because it's a great program. And I hope to see it continue, and I hope to see Ashland start up something very similar to it. Like I said, I would hate to see it go. It's been a great, wonderful place. And thank you.
Thank you. Ma'am?
Hi, my name is Mona Hart. I'm a member of Right to Survive. You know, this homeless and stuff, I've been homeless off and on since 14 years old by choices and other things that happen. I feel that family shelters should come open. I have 3 children that are not able to live with me because I am not able to afford housing right now. I feel that people need to look at different solutions of how to help families with children. You know, I'm a single mother at the time. I had to get my kids up at the time because I didn't have a job, I didn't have a place to live. And living on the streets for me is really hard because before I got married, I was living out there by myself, getting harassed by cops, getting harassed by whoever, you know. And for women, for me, it's really scary to live out there on the streets, you know. I think more shelters should come open, more resources. You know, Right to Dream has totally changed my life. You know, it's got me to where I think of myself higher. I give myself more respect today, you know. And the people in there, you make friends. We're all family. We're all community together, you know. And we go out there and help other homeless people. You know, that's what it's about. It's about helping each other. And that's all I got.
Thank you. Sure.
My name's Justin. I just wanted to thank you, Commissioner Leonard, really, really briefly. The last couple of weeks that members of Occupy Portland have come in here to speak to the council, Mayor Adams has constantly interrupted us and told us that we are not allowed to react or clap. And I think that the way that you've handled this meeting was much more friendly.
Thank you.
And I just want to thank you for that.
Thank you.
My name is Pablo Avocado. I've got to be honest, I didn't have a planned speech when I came up here. I'd just like to paint a brief picture of what it is like sleeping outside and make a small point. Sleeping outside, which I've done for a couple months now, is dirty, hard, cold, and dangerous. A lot of things can happen out of the public's eye, which we are usually forced to go, under the bridges, dank, dark doorways. We are usually not in public sight where it's not safe. But what I fear the most when I am sleeping outside, I've got my sleeping bag set up, trying to be warm for the night, I fear the police, who have come time and time again, sometimes multiple times in the same night, to move me from one spot to another. And that is all I would like to say.
Thank you. Tracy, could you come on up?
So, Tracy, I have a couple questions. This is a resolution, and we have as Exhibit A some guidelines. And I just want to just create a record around a couple of things. First of all, my understanding is that these guidelines will evolve over time based on our experience, correct?
That's correct.
Now, we've had a couple people testify that we should revisit paragraph 3D and 5D, which has to do with electrical, water, and sanitary waste hookups. And I think they made interesting points. So would you specifically, as we move to implementation, would you be willing to take up those issues and then report back to council?
Absolutely.
I want to just point out that I really appreciate you making that observation, because it's one of the things I picked up in the testimony as well. So
yeah, I mean, and I think there's the two people made the point that there might be this inherent tension between regulating one activity and then the unintended consequence being people idling, which is also regulated in these guidelines. So I think there is a tension there, and I think that's we ought to take a look at it, and I appreciate the testimony on that point. I also received, and we'll make as part of the record, a letter from the Portland Business Alliance offering their qualified support for this proposal. They raised a couple of questions. I think, just in fairness, we should make a record on this. They proposed that there be a sunset date on this particular resolution, and my understanding is that what we've committed to do is come back to council in a year and report what our experience has been, and the council at that point can decide whether to continue the pilot or not. Is that correct?
It is.
They have asked for a definition of a community service provider so that there's some clarity, and as I read the matter and then look at our code, that is actually defined in our code.
It is, and our resolution is actually slightly more restrictive than the definition, but it is available for anyone to see.
And the third issue they raise has to do with having some clear guidelines about behavior, both in terms of the hosts and people that will be sleeping. And I, my understanding is that the guidelines in Exhibit A that we hammered out with our committee are our attempt to come up with some rules, and that they will evolve over time based on experience.
Absolutely. We'll have a committee that looks at all of these issues in an ongoing way.
Okay. Thank you.
Great. Thank you. Thank you, Tracy. Is there further discussion amongst the council? If not, Sue, please call the roll.
Fish.
Well, look, let me begin with some thank yous. To Commissioner Dan Saltzman, who is the commissioner in charge of the Bureau of Development Services, who early on embraced this concept and committed both personally and his staff time to working out the details. We would not be here today if Commissioner Saltzman had not made this a priority. So, Dan, thank you. And thanks also to all my colleagues, including Commissioner Leonard, for the historic commitment that they have made to ending homelessness in our community. I want to thank both the Bureau of Development Services and their staff, the Police Bureau, and the Portland Housing Bureau for the work that they've put in. In particular, I want to call out the really extraordinary work of Director Tracy Manning and Sally Erickson and Ryan Diebert. Sally and Ryan are part of our Ending Homelessness team, and they have, over the past year, pioneered such things as innovative new storage facility in downtown for people experiencing homelessness, this, an expansion of our winter warming centers, and many other initiatives. And I'm proud to be able to work with them and their team. To David Leslie and Ecumenical Ministries, I think it is important that we note that churches and synagogues and mosques and people of faith in our community are already doing a lot to help. They're providing soup kitchens. They're feeding the hungry. They're providing shelter in the basements or the various public spaces of their churches. They're donating money. They're volunteering time. The faith community is a full partner with us in ending homelessness. This is above and beyond. This is the faith community asking us for another tool where they can provide another benefit. And I thank all of the partners in Ecumenical Ministries, and David Leslie in particular, for stepping forward. I also want to thank our friends at the county, particularly Deborah Cafori, who is a champion for ending homelessness. Under our system, the city is focused more on individuals experiencing homelessness, and the county focuses more on families and children. But I would say that in recent memory, we've never been more aligned in terms of our approach to this challenge, and I want to credit Commissioner Cafori in particular for her leadership. So an issue that came up a lot today from people who think we're doing too much, or I should say too little, has to do with really what is our approach to ending homelessness. And I think that's a fair criticism. And I appreciate deeply the passionate testimony of people who say we're not doing enough, because I agree with you. We are not doing enough. But because I also believe we have to celebrate the things that we're doing that represent progress, I'm going to just take a very brief moment to acknowledge some things we're doing with our community partners that are making a difference. We are a little more than halfway through our 10-year plan to end homelessness. And in that time, 7,000 people have moved from the streets to housing. That's an extraordinary record. But the question that often comes up is, if we are making that progress, why are people still homeless? And I want to say something which I think most of you will agree with, maybe some won't, but I think it has to be stated. No matter what we do as a community to address homelessness, we do not control the feeders. We do not control the supply. And let's for a moment acknowledge what are the factors that lead to people being homeless. We have a presidential primary going on where a majority of the Republicans running for president have called for eliminating the Housing and Human HUD, our federal housing agency. That's a debate we're having as a country right now about whether the federal government should provide housing services. Portland did not send our men and women to wars.
Democratic sovereignty.
Please, people have had their chance. Let me have my chance. We do not have the power to declare war or send our brothers and sisters to war. But we have 130,000 veterans in this country who are homeless and are not providing services. That's a national disgrace. That is not Portland's unique problem. Portland is not responsible for the breakdown in our healthcare system. The 50 million uninsured was not something that was hatched here in Portland. The breakdown in mental health services, I could go on and on. The worst economic decline and recession of my lifetime. These are national problems that call for a national solution. And right now, we're having a national debate about whether we continue to invest in housing. And for everyone who came here today and said we're not doing enough, I urge you to engage the national debate to make sure that we continue to get funding for our priorities. So without adequate support from the federal government, we have, as a community, stepped up to fill the gap. We opened the Bud Clark Commons. In the last 2 years, we spent over $100 million in our urban renewal districts. We put $1.8 million into short-term rent assistance this year. And we open.
Bullshit. It'll be easier to tell the cops just not to beat us up when we try to help people.
I think it's appropriate that we all be heard, but I think we have to be respectful. We've opened and expanded our winter warming centers. This council allocated $1 million supplemental to deal with street homelessness downtown. We've reaffirmed our commitment to a 30% set aside for affordable housing. And yet, during a time of rising need, we have inadequate resources to the task. At another time in our history, a great president said that the occasion is piled high with difficulty, and we must rise with the occasion. That was Lincoln speaking about a time of civil war. But I would argue that during a time of economic crisis, his words are just as resonant. This occasion is piled high with difficulties, but we, all of us, must rise with the occasion. So, going forward, what can we as a community do? During the budget time, I ask you during the budget time to stand with us to defend the funding in our one time to fund the safety net. I urge you to be involved in the federal debate so that the federal role in housing is strengthened, not weakened. I urge you to work with our partners in the faith community and nonprofit community to reach out to people in need. There is a lot that we can do. And today, let me be very clear, this resolution does not solve the problem. The limitations of this resolution that people have testified to are apparent as day. But I say that at a time of crisis, when people of goodwill and faith come to us and say, we have an idea and we want to try it, I think we have to be receptive.
I'm going to ask people to please listen and be respectful. Thank you.
What this proposal, this resolution does, is addresses one small part of the problem. And it addresses people that already have access to a car or an RV and allows them to be in a safer place. It is not going to solve the problem, and it is not intended to be comprehensive in scope. But it will make a difference to the people that are the beneficiaries of this relaxation in our rules. And for them, it will be a safer night's sleep in a loving and protective community. For them, it will represent progress. For the cause of ending homelessness, no one has claimed at any time in this debate that this will end homelessness. So what I ask you to do is help us make this pilot successful. Help us experiment with other new ideas to address homelessness.
Ma'am, I've asked you to please not interrupt.
Let's work together to find creative solutions. And let's not forget that ending homelessness is about one person at a time. And I'll close with a reflection about my friend Leo Rhodes, who's in the back of this room. For 10 years, on and off, Leo has been homeless. He is the poet laureate of Street Roots. He is a tireless advocate on the subject of homelessness. He was invited to speak and deliver a poem at the opening of Bud Clark Commons. And he has stood with other distinguished writers and poets at ceremonial events across this state and graced us with his poetry. Leo should not have waited 10 years for his first home. But today he has a home in the Civic across the street from Jelwyn Stadium. Public housing made possible because of a federal and national commitment to housing and to ending homelessness. Leo, congratulations on coming home for the holidays. Congratulations on finally having the house that you've deserved for 10 years. And we will not rest as a community until everyone, Leo and Street Roots vendors, or the people who have testified here today, have a safe and decent place to call home. Aye.
Salzman.
Well, thank you, Commissioner Fish, for your leadership on this and your continued commitment to the homeless in our community. As a co-sponsor of this resolution, I strongly support it and look forward to seeing it become successful and hopefully a permanent policy here in Portland. As the commissioner in charge of the Bureau of Development Services, I am committing to assisting Development Services Director Paul Scarlett and his team in managing the directives expressed in this resolution and in Appendix A. This is a partnership between the city, religious and nonprofit institutions, and neighbors. Everyone must be working together in order for this pilot to be successful. The hosting institution must have a strong oversight of the campers on their property. The neighbors must be confident that the guidelines as laid out in Exhibit A are being followed, and the city must uphold its end of the agreement and clearly explain to concerned residents the reasons for our use of discretion in enforcing city code. And I, for one, am confident that we will make this work. The need exists in our community, and other cities have made similar programs, Eugene and Seattle in particular. I have no doubts that Portland can step up to the plate like those cities have and make this work. Aye.
Leonard.
I too want to thank Commissioner Fish and Saltzman for working together to this creative solution, but I also want to thank the folks that came and testified today, those particularly of you that came to testify about Right to Dream 2. I think it's easy to misunderstand what kind of a environment might exist at Right to Dream 2. I heard things today that were very reassuring, and as a consequence, I will take up the offer to come down and visit myself if a group of you want to coordinate with me. I'd be happy to come down and look at the encampment. I appreciated particularly the testimony that no violence is allowed, that women are safe, that there's no drugs or alcohol allowed, and I think that that's while possibly not a permanent solution, certainly a set of ideals that I support for people that oftentimes find themselves with no place else to stay. Aye. So can you read 1384?
1384, extend the terms of 2011 Charter Commission members to March 3, 2012.
I'm going to handle that one.
Yes, yeah. Commissioner Saltzman.
Thank you, Mr. President. On behalf of Mayor Adams, I would like to request the Council approval to extend the terms of Charter Commission appointees until March 3rd of 2012. The majority of these members were expected to end in January of 2012, but the Charter Commission has requested more time, and the mayor and I believe a short extension until March of 2012 will allow them to complete their work. So I urge approval of this resolution.
Thank you. Is there any testimony? Nobody signed up soon?
We have two, Joanne Hardesty and Cameron Witten.
Joanne, did you say Joanne Whitman too?
Cameron Whitman.
Cameron,
I apologize, I'm sorry.
It's all right.
Joanne.
Good morning. For the record, I vote good morning, Mayor, but clearly the mayor is not here, and city council members. For the record, my name is Joanne Hardesty. On September 21st, 2011, I was sworn in as a member of the Portland Charter Review Commission. Anyone who knows me knows that I take appointments to public policies very seriously and was pleased to join other community members who would be reviewing Portland's constitution. At that time, two new commissioners were sworn in with me. At that meeting, I found out in August, four new members were sworn in. So that ended up being almost half of the Charter Review Commissioners were fairly new to the process. On November 14, 2011, I testified in front of this body on an ordinance to set up a process for public hearings for the work of the Charter Review Commission. At that time, I stated that I would be remiss if I didn't object to the timeline we were currently under, since the issues were complex that the Charter Commission was considering, and the majority of the commission members do not have deep knowledge about these issues as of yet. I was concerned that we were being pushed to take a vote too soon, and we had not yet effectively engaged a broader segment of Portland's community in order to seek their wisdom, understanding, and recommendations. At this public hearing, Mayor Adams and Commissioner Saltzman publicly expressed appreciation for the work of the commission and promised to follow up with a meeting within a few weeks to determine how best to support the work of the Charter Commission. On December 7th, 2011, I met with Mayor Adams and Commissioner Saltzman in Commissioner Saltzman's office. Mayor Adams asked for an update of the work of the Charter Review Commission. At that time, I and Mark White, co-chair of the commission, stated that the Human Rights Commission had rescinded their request to the Charter Review Commission, that we had already we were planning to schedule two public hearings to address the issue of the Independent Utility Commission in January, even though the Charter Review Commissioners had stated they would not vote at that time. They were merely going to take input. Mayor Adams stated that he would not fund any issue that the Charter Review Commission would take on that he didn't support at that meeting. I said, Sam, this is not about you. This is about the people in our community who are coming to the Charter Review Commission who want these issues addressed. I actually was pretty appalled to hear the mayor say that he would not support either instant runoff election or police accountability work being done through the Charter Commission process. Commissioner Leonard, on November 11th, you asked me if the City Council was creating barriers to the Charter Review Commission and completing their work. Today, I can honestly say yes. The City Council is trying to prohibit the Charter Review Commission from doing detailed work that actually takes into account what the public wants us to do, not what the mayor wants us to do, not what the city council wants us to do, but what the public wants us to do. In closing, I will say that Section 13-301 of the Charter Commission states, the mayor or council may request the Charter Commission review specific sections of the Charter, but the work and recommendation of the Charter Commission shall not be limited to such specific sections. I am here today to speak in opposition to the ordinance that Commissioner Saltzman is putting forward. It is my recommendation that the Charter Review Commission be extended until June so that we can thoroughly do the work that we, the volunteer community members, have taken on to do in this project. I am appalled that we are being strong-armed by the mayor and a city commissioner to not do the job that we've been appointed to do. Thank you.
You said a city commissioner? Or
a city commissioner. That would be City Commissioner Dan Saltzman in cahoots with Mayor Adams.
That's an unusual
Yes, it is. Yeah, well, as you know, politics makes strange bedfellows.
Thank you, Joanne. So I just want to have a clarifying question.
Excuse me, I want to make sure if they have any questions before.
Hang on, because I might.
Okay, so we have 3 minutes now. It's not two anymore.
That's right.
So the conditions changed. So we're not following the same process when we do city
now
council.
Now you have 2 minutes and 55 seconds.
Okay, I'm just asking, clarifying. This is the way
now
we do it.
2 minutes and 55
okay,
seconds.
Okay, are you saying that's a yes? Is that what we're saying? We're changing process.
Keep on going.
Okay. Well, can I please get an affirmation from you that we change process at City Council?
2 minutes and 45
okay,
seconds.
Okay, thank you. I'll be back here next week to do the same thing, because all I'm asking for is a yes or a no. But it seems like you're just dodging
testify
that.
To this, I'm going to rule you
I'm just
order,
asking
you
a
leave.
Simple question.
I'm
going to. So if, is that what you're going to do? Can you just answer my question so I can continue on with my testimony?
Answer questions.
You're not going to answer my question.
I'm not here to answer questions.
Okay.
You're here to testify.
That's fine. Thank you. Okay, so for the testimony, I would like to say that the general elections are coming up, and they're very soon, and I feel like it's my speculation that the people of Portland are intentionally being kept misinformed, and I love the work that they are doing here with public hearings and giving recommendations which represent what the people need, and so I support an extension for a further date for this commission to happen in order for people to remain informed on what's happening, what they should be voting for, in the November elections. Thank you for my 3 minutes.
Thank you. Okay. So Commissioner Saltzman, I am interested in the March date versus the June date. Is there a reason we wouldn't extend the terms to June?
There's a couple of reasons. First of all, for the record, we appointed the Charter Commission in January of 2011, this year. And some members, have left already because they haven't found the time. So we are appointed. We are recommending extending the deadline until March. They have already completed their housekeeping amendments, and that will be coming. That will be going to the voters, I believe. The Charter Commission probably will, as a majority, send that. They are working on Independent Utility Commission. They were working on the Human Rights Commission. They're still working on instant runoff voting. It doesn't matter whether the mayor likes it or not. That's the Charter Commission's purview. But I do believe that we are facing attrition, and I think many of the members who were extending until March 3rd have no desire to serve until June. I think it would be unfair to both the citizens and the Charter Commission to have to appoint a new round of appointees, every time members go off. And frankly, this is my opinion. I can't speak for the mayor, but I think it's time for them to wrap up work. My office is staffing the Charter Commission, and we were originally planning to staff it until February 3rd. At the mayor's request, we've agreed to staff it an additional month. And I believe, nothing focuses the mind like a deadline, and this is the deadline.
If we approached that March date and their work still wasn't done, and there was consensus they needed more time, would you support at that time extending it further?
Well, I think I don't. Now I'll keep an open mind, but I'm not sure, because I think the work keeps occurring. So new subcommittees are being appointed on a rolling basis, and then that kind of perpetuates the need for the Charter Commission to extend longer and longer. And I'm not sure the citizens we recruited to do this are willing to do that. And I don't think it's fair to have to bring in, try to find new members. Each of us, you know, are responsible for appointing four members to try to keep finding people and then bringing them in short term, and then sort of, you know, as Joanne's saying, you know, not having them having the time to catch up. So I don't think if we extended it to June, that's my opinion, that would make any difference. I think it's time to, as I said, they've completed their work on their housekeeping. They're working on several other major issues, and to keep sort of a rolling agenda going of new issues, I don't think serves the purpose of the citizens of the City of Portland.
So early on, I was concerned that neither of the folks you named, but a member of the council, was making your work more difficult and telling you what you could or could not consider. To be quite clear, I think I was the only one on the council when this went on the ballot that voted against this measure. But having said that, I also understand that it passed and it's part of the city charter. And I think we should give each of you the benefit of the doubt when you're doing the work that the charter asks you to do. So that as a backdrop, is there a substantive reason you can't conclude the work that you've been given by March?
Commissioner Leonard, yes, the substantive reason is we have a committee that will have its first meeting on January 9th around police accountability. As you've noticed at the last couple of city council meetings, there's been a big outpour of community members wanting us to look at police accountability. There's no way we're going to be able to actually thoroughly consider what could possibly go into the charter around police accountability by March 3rd. The other thing is that we have the instant runoff voting that the mayor has said that he doesn't like. And whether he likes it or not, there's a committee that's actually meeting to educate themselves and become more familiar with instant runoff voting. And our commissioners need time to educate ourselves. In fact, the Independent Utility Commission is a huge issue. There have been six of our commission members that have been on a subcommittee. The rest of us have not. So when we have the public hearings will be about educating ourselves as well as educating each other about what we want to move forward as far as the Independent Utility Commission. The mayor's proposal of doing all the public hearings in one fell swoop together is an inefficient way to actually get the detailed information that we need. I personally don't need something to do for the next 6 months, but when I took this on, I took it on because it was important for the city that we do this. And to just shut us down just as we're getting started, I feel is a disrespectful to the public that you've asked to volunteer their time to make this work happen. Now, the Charter Review Commission meets tonight in this chamber, and we're going to have that conversation about what the mayor has proposed. But I suspect that most of my committee members are going to agree with me to say that there's certainly not enough time between now and March 3rd for us to come to conclusion of our work.
But when did the Charter Commission originally begin meeting?
Well, it began actually December of last year was when the original committee was appointed. I was appointed in August of this year,
right?
And so there has been attrition. There have been people that were appointed and nobody ever saw them again. There are people that resigned because they had other things because they made a six-month commitment. But the people that are on the commission now, we've done a poll to figure out how many people would be willing to stay till June. And most of the people who are here who have not turned in their resignation said they would stay until the end because they see how important this is.
But you do understand Commissioner Salzman's observation that the work agenda seems to be amended and changing over the last year. As I said, I've come and I've testified before all of you and supported your work, but it does seem like new issues are beginning. And, of course, each one of those are important, and they take a lot of time. But isn't there something to the point that you have an agenda when you start out, you work towards conclusion of that, and then you finish your work by a certain time, as opposed to adding items that, while they may be important, end up burning other people out who quit, and then we appoint new people, and of course they want more time, and so it goes on and on and on.
Well, Commissioner, I absolutely agree with that. I mean, clearly, if I was appointed December of last year and told I was going to volunteer for 6 months, and a year later I'm still there, I'd be wondering what's going on. But a year ago, we didn't know what Occupy Portland would look like. right? We didn't have the experiences that you have heard about over the last few weeks with the police in the city of Portland, right? And so we could not anticipate that the Charter Review Committee would hear so much from the public, their need to come in and actually be thoughtful about how do we address the issue of police accountability. And as you know, we've been dealing with this issue for a lot of years, right? And we may or may not come up with something that we can get a majority of the charter commissioners to agree to put on the ballot. But don't you think it's worth the effort for us to take the time, have the conversation, bring in the certified smart people, and come back with some recommendations? If we, at the end of the day, if we say this is just too complex and we can't do it in this time, so be it. Right? But I want to be the one that actually says, well, let's try to figure it out now. If we can figure it out, have something that the majority of the commissioners would agree to, let's send it to the voters. If we can't, we'll just say, we don't have anything that we think is worthy to go to the voters. But don't cut us off before we've had an opportunity to come up with our recommendations.
So here's what I'm willing to do. I'm willing to support this today, but also offer, and I can only speak for myself on this point, that if you get to that March deadline and you're not getting your work done, and we can sit down and you can persuade me that there is really some legitimate reason you haven't got it done, I'm willing to reintroduce a resolution extending the terms. I can only speak for myself. There's four other people who have opinions on this subject, but I do think today Commissioner Salzman makes a persuasive point. Having said that, I'm open to talking to you in the next couple of months and seeing where we're at.
If I might add, Commissioner Leonard, to underscore some of the points I'm making, we did appoint two co-chairs. I guess it was December of 2010. One of them has already resigned. The current co-chair, Mark White, was planning to resign this month. Oh, I'm sorry, January, and has agreed to stay on until March. As I pointed out, my office is staffing the commission right now. I'm not going to make a commitment that we're going to continue to staff it beyond March. But I do think that, as I said, I think, you know, I know Occupy Portland has basically been very involved in the independent runoff voting proposals. And I do think that, and they've done their work on housekeeping amendments, and I do think it's time to you know, wrap things up.
Great. Okay. Thank you. Anybody else signed up to testify? If not, Sue, please call them. Go ahead.
Thank you. Mike D. I've been waiting for the Charter Review Commission to finally, this is one of those things that only happens every 5 years, right? So it's finally here. I haven't been able to focus on it, but I know that all the work isn't done. I haven't heard that the Independent Police Review Board has come in and been part of the charter. It's possible that that got written in there and all that, but I haven't heard about it, that it's going to be truly independent. And I know this is one of the places where that should be in the charter review. And if we don't do it now, it sounds like we may have to wait another 5 years. And we know if it's not set up to be, if a good system isn't set up now, that it might not be set up for a while. And if it takes a little more time to set that up, then I think it would be a good call for the citizens to come together for a little longer. If some people need to leave, I think that's fine. They've done their service. We can appoint some new people in there and keep going.
Great. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Hi. My name's Teresa. I understand office efficiency, and I understand cost effectiveness, but I also understand how it is when you're working with volunteers who are not being paid, who have lives that are probably very stressed in this current economy and with the things that are going on in the world. And I can see that it hasn't been cost effective to date, and it hasn't worked out so well with your initial appointments, which may be a reflection on those initial appointments, that really committed people were not gotten. I don't know. But it does make sense to me that if you have invested in something that doesn't look like a losing proposition and you can get a better quality end product by continuing on for a few more months versus waiting years to redo it, then all your arguments against staffing for 3 or 4 more months past a March deadline to extend until June, to me, are not logical. And I have a consistent impression from attending city councils thus far that you don't listen to the people that sit up here and talk to you, because I don't hear you voting the way they ask you to. So I'm going to keep coming back and watching this, but I have to say that I feel that you have already made up your mind on things when we come in, and that you don't listen to us, and it makes me wonder if you listen to these commissions. And I think that police accountability, apparently since we are under federal investigation, is a big deal, and I'm always disappointed not to see people here. So I don't think I like the way this vote is going at all, and I don't agree with the logic behind it. Thank you.
Any further discussion? If not, Sue, please call the roll.
I appreciate the discussion and the colloquy, and I too will keep an open mind as we get closer to the March target deadline. Aye.
Saltzman.
Aye.
Leonard.
Aye. 1385.
Appoint Eli Ettinger, LaVon Hester, and Suzanne Stahl to the Portland Commission on Disability for terms to expire January 1, 2015.
Anybody here to testify? If not, please call the roll.
Fish.
Thank you for your service. Aye.
Saltzman.
Yes, welcome to the new members. Aye.
Leonard.
Aye. 1386.
Amend the intergovernmental agreement with the Oregon Department of Transportation to define the roles and responsibilities for maintenance of stormwater management facilities constructed by the St. John's Pedestrian Freight Project.
Mr.
What? Second reading.
Second reading. Thank you. Please call the roll.
Fish.
Aye.
Saltzman.
Aye.
Leonard.
Aye. 1387.
Declare intent to initiate local improvement district formation proceedings to construct street multi-use path and stormwater improvements in the Southeast 33rd Avenue and Party Street Local Improvement District.
Mr. Abbey.
Good morning, President Leonard, Commissioner Saltzman, Commissioner Fish. This item was first brought to Council on July 20th with 67% petition support. Since that time, support for the project had decreased, and notwithstanding the merits of the project, there was a clear consensus in the neighborhood to not move forward with the project. Though I've asked Sue to pass out a substitute resolution, and I'm requesting that Council approve that substitute and approve it today, which would table formation proceedings for the LID. I'm happy to answer any questions you might have.
Is there a motion to accept?
I'll move. Second.
It's been moved and seconded to substitute the resolution with the resolution on the Portland City Bureau of Transportation memo dated November 29th. Is there any discussion? If not, Sue, please call the roll.
Fish.
Aye.
Saltzman.
Aye.
Leonard.
Aye. Resolution has been amended. Is there further discussion? If not, Sue, please call the roll.
Fish.
Aye.
Saltzman.
Well, thanks, Andrew, for, as always, your good work. This one just didn't seem ready to fly, so we are terminating it. Aye.
Leonard.
Aye. 1388.
Create 2 new represented classifications of collection system video inspector and collection system investigator, and establish interim compensation rates for those classifications.
Anybody signed up to testify?
Second reading.
Second reading. Thank you. Please call the roll.
Fish.
Aye.
Saltzman.
Aye.
Leonard.
Aye. This is
1389. Amend contract with Black and Veatch Corporation to increase compensation and scope of work for Bull Run Dam Number 2 tower improvements.
Second reading. Sue, please call the roll.
Fish.
Aye.
Saltzman.
Well, this is a major capital investment by the Water Bureau, and I do appreciate the thorough, comprehensive briefing that we had on this and the exciting PowerPoint. It is kind of interesting. It's very interesting to me, but it's very important also for our habitat conservation plan and just maintaining the Bull Run as the gem that it is. So please vote aye.
Leonard.
Aye. 1390.
Authorize the Bureau of Environmental Services to acquire certain easements and other real property interests necessary for construction of the Luther Road Habitat Restoration Project, number E06947, through the exercise of the city's eminent domain authority.
Second reading. Sue, please call the roll.
Fish.
Aye.
Saltzman.
Aye.
Leonard.
Aye. Okay. Due to a lack of an agenda, there will not be council this afternoon or tomorrow. We will have council next Wednesday.
No, not until January 4th.
So we have paper first.
Is it January?
Meeting is canceled next week.
Okay.
Right.
So we are adjourned till January 4th, 2012. Happy New Year. Happy holidays.
Happy New Year.